نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد continue the chapter major sins sins do not destroy a person's iman but they continuously weaken the luster of iman making it fragile it then becomes easy for shaitan to attack a person and even at times to let him fall into disbelief therefore one should stay away from every sin if one errs he should immediately resort to repentance There are two types of sins, the major sins and minor sins. Tawbah is necessary for the forgiveness of major sins. Tawbah means that a person should feel ashamed of his action, repent, and make a firm intention not to repeat the action. If another person's rights were infringed, then these rights should be fulfilled. If salah, fasting, etc. were left out, they should be made up by qadha. Minor sins are forgiven through the blessings of righteous deeds. Some of the major sins are to recite incantations contrary to the Sharia, all wazifas, etc. against the Sharia, to verify what an astrologer or fortune teller says, to discard any farz or wajib action when one is able, example, salah, zakah, fasting, hajj, qurbani, to do acts of worship for show, to boast of one's piety or ibadah, to be careless with urine drops on one's body or clothing, to miss jumu'ah salah, to miss salat with jama'at for males without a valid excuse, to delay salah until the time goes out, to kill someone unjustly, to kill one's children, to abort a child after the soul has been placed in it, is also included in killing children, to commit suicide, to cause harm or to disobey one's parents in permissible actions, to sever family ties for worldly reasons, to commit adultery, fornication, incest, or anal sex, to get involved in acts of homosexuality and lesbianism, to have relations with one's wife during her menses, to have no self-honor over one's spouse. You don't mind anyone speaking to her. If you tell her such a person, he will not enter into Jannah. They call it dayyus. He got no self-honor over his wife. To sit in seclusion with a ghair mahram woman, those with whom the observance of hijab is necessary, to appear before one's brother-in-law, for a lady that is, or men to come before his sister-in-law, cousins, or any other strangers, without any parda, to look at an evil intention at women folk, and even worse, one's neighbor, to enter someone's house without permission, to fulfill one's carnal desires with animals, to expose one's satr. The satr of a man, the private part of a man, is from the navel to the knee. So this part from the navel to the knee must be covered at all times. It's not permissible for a man to wear shorts and go out jogging, etc. It's from the navel to the knee, below the knee should be covered at all times. And the entire body of a female is satr, except her palms, her face and her feet. When emerging in front of strange men, a woman's face must be concealed as well. There is much more detail regarding this in a home, but as far as possible, in front of other family members, in it is best for a woman to cover her whole body besides the palms, face and feet, but there is more detail. Certain portions of her arms, her hair can be left open in front of her father, in front of the brothers, etc. There is permissibility given there. There is much more detail. To wear such transparent clothing that the color of the skin can be seen, or to wear such tight clothing that the shape of the body can be seen. To embrace or shake hands with khair mahrams, those with whom hijab is necessary, and even family members with lust. If a person touches his daughter-in-law, for example, with lust, or his own daughter with lust, then it will have disastrous consequences, the whole nikah can be broken just by touching her with lust. To adopt the dress of the opposite sex, to falsely accuse a woman of adultery, to regard a second marriage of a woman, she got married now, her husband passed away, she got married a second time, regard it as a blemish, as an evil thing, despite there being a need for it. To give false testimony or to conceal evidence. To speak lies, especially to take false oaths, by which the wealth, life or honor of another is taken. To take an oath in the name of anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To institute false proceedings against someone. To earn haram wealth and to feed or eat, to eat or feed others the same. To usurp the wealth of orphans. To take or give interest or bribes, to weigh less, cheat in one's business dealings, work less time and take full wages, to make a bequest in order to deprive an heir, or in order to someone and harm someone, not to give the women folk their share of the inheritance, to waste or be extravagant, especially in wedding ceremonies, to use someone's wealth without his happiness, to insist on reducing a price after having agreed to it. Shall I will continue tomorrow? Allah give us tawfiq to stay away from all of these sins. Last night in the Tarawih Salah, the 28th juz was recited. The first surah is Surah Al-Hashr. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us, and we must always have this thought in our minds that we are always being watched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially that woman who is oppressed. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ. Allah has heard the statement of that woman. She was speaking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding her husband. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, she was so softly, I was right there. I couldn't hear what she's telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But from the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah has heard the statement of that woman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Person has to be very careful of oppression and zulm, because they definitely hit the person back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says thereafter, أَلَمْ تَرَى. Don't you know that Allah knows whatever is in the heavens and in the earth? If there are three people sitting and quietly they are speaking, Allah is the fourth. If there are five people, Allah is the sixth one. If there are any less numbers, any more numbers, إِلَّا هُوَ مَعَهُمْ إِنَّمَا كَانُوا. No matter where you are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with a person. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform a person of the actions which a person had done. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. So, O people of Iman, when you have this secret discussion, do not discuss guna, sin, enmity, breaking the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when you have to discuss privately also, discuss with one another of fear and taqwa, piety, doing good actions and staying away from sin, and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ones who make other kind of plans and plots secretly, this is from the side of shaitan, to create gham and sadness and sorrow in the hearts of the people of Iman, but they cannot cause him any harm at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of all what your person is saying. Allah is aware of the adab and respect a person has got. And when a person has got respect, Allah honors a person. O people of Iman, when it is said to you in your gathering, they move aside, give place to other people. Then they open up and they give place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give place to them. They've got a quality of respect within themselves. And when it is said to them, wake up and go away, let the people of honor and respect, the seniors come in front, and they do that there. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise these people. When a person humbles himself for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah will raise a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially mentions, one is the people of Iman, وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ, and those who have been given Islamic knowledge. Allah ta'ala mentions them separately to show the great rank and status of those who have been granted the knowledge of Allah the knowledge of Deen. It's extremely, كَأَنَّهُ جِنْسٌ آخَرٌ. The ulama say, as if though they are different species altogether. One is the people of Iman, and one is the people who have been granted the knowledge of Deen. So really, to be granted the knowledge of Deen is a very great quality. And our ulama mentioned, if a person cannot acquire the full knowledge of Deen, at least daily, if a person goes and learns, gets one dirt, he learns a day, goes to some alim for 15 minutes, half an hour, then all the virtues which are mentioned for studying the knowledge of Deen, this person will also be regarded as a talib ilm, as a seeker of Deen, where the angels are spreading out the wings for him. If he has to pass away while he is seeking the knowledge, between him and Nabi alayhi salam will be one rank of difference. Because all the great virtues of knowledge comes also for that person who goes, and even for one dirt every day, he tries to learn the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah make us amongst the true students of Deen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions at the end of the surah, where Allah says that he knows our friends also, who we accompany. And Allah said, لا تجدو. Allah ta'ala did not prohibit us that do not have friends of the non-Muslims. Allah said, you will not find, it's not possible to find a people who believe in Allah in the day of Qiyamah. They will have love for those people who have enmity for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That means the non-Muslim people, those who are against Islam and Iman in today's times, whether it's film actors and actresses, whether it's sports players, all of these people, or there are some high people in society. It's not possible, you will not find a people who believe in Allah in the day of Qiyamah. They will actually have love for such people. If a person has got love for these sports players and all of these people, it shows there is a deficiency in Iman. But Allah said, you can't find people like this here. Allah says, even if they are their fathers, and their children, and their brothers, and their family members, they won't have love for them. They will fulfill their rights, but they won't have love for them. And then when a person doesn't have love for these non-Muslim people, those who are the enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will give them great gifts. The first thing is, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah will write in their hearts Iman. iman will be written in their heart. It shows that these people are very strong. Because the person who loves for the pleasure of Allah and hates for the pleasure of Allah, his iman is perfect and complete. Second benefit Allah says, وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْ Allah will grant them a special ruhani, spiritual strength. Allah's help and assistance will come, which will come into their hearts, and they will become very steadfast and strong. Number three, Allah will grant them entrance into Jannah, flowing beneath their rivers, and they will remain there forever and forever. Number four, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. They will be, Allah will be happy with them, and they will be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama write that they took the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the pleasure of people. So because of that, Allah became happy with them. And the greatest happiness is the happiness of Allah. When Allah is pleased with a person, it's so foolish. In today's time, a person, he follows one sports team, he's jumping for them. I support this country, I support these people. They don't even know you exist in the world. And yeah, if a person is showing his loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah becomes happy with that person. And that person will be happy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, Allah give us tawfiq to make that dua. And Yusuf rahmatullah is to make that, oh Allah, Allahumma akhrijil yahudiyata wa nasraniyata min qulub al-muslimin. That, oh Allah, remove the love of Christianity and Judaism and the love of all of these people from the hearts of the Muslims. Allah must enter iman into our hearts, Islam into our hearts, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sahaba, the pious people, and not these people who will take a person away from the path of iman. And Allah says, ulaika hizbullah, they are the army of Allah. And the army of Allah, the fourth benefit, they are muflihun, they are completely successful in this world also, and in the year after. So a person has to be very careful regarding who his friends are, the company a person keeps. The next surah is Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that how Allah's assistance for the Islamic country is, how he came to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum suddenly, where people never expected it. The Jews were very, very powerful in Medina Munawwara, and the Muslims outwardly, they never have so much of weapons. But when Allah's help and assistance came, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made sudden victory, they took over the places. The Jews thought they were so well established, they will never come out of those places. But Allah's help and assistance came. So a person needs the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one great reason for this year is the surah before and the surah after this, to cut off that love and close connections with the non-Muslim people. A person has to make the sacrifice. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in today's time, we have seen it in Afghanistan also. Exactly, if a person reads the surah, and you will see what happened there, how Allah's help and assistance came to the Muslims, where suddenly, where the people never expected it, and all of those countries, you know, how many countries against them, 52 countries, and Allah gave them victory and dominance. So this is the system of Allah Ta'ala, and thereafter whatever money comes in jihad, how must it be distributed, you get different levels of it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how it must be distributed. Allah mentions there are three groups. The one group is the muhajirin, those who sacrificed, they came out of their houses, and they left their houses for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next one is the group of the Ansar, who helped and assisted them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the third group of people are those who will come after them, and they will make dua for the people of the past. Oh Allah, forgive us, and forgive our brothers who have passed by with iman. That means if a person has to acknowledge the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if he doesn't acknowledge the pious predecessors, the people who have come before him, his ustad, and the salaf as-salihin, and the pious people, then this person is not included amongst the people of iman. Allah mentions three groups. Why the muhajir, the Ansar, or the third group? And the third group has to acknowledge the people who have come beforehand. If we do not acknowledge a group, then we are actually like not regarded amongst the people of iman. And then together with this, we make dua. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلَّ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا And oh Allah, in our hearts, not place any ghil, enmity, hatred, dislike for the people of iman. Because our heart must be pure and we have love for the people of iman. For people of kufr and disbelief, we have dislike. For the people of iman, we must have no ill feeling towards them. Oh Allah, you are the most merciful, the most kind. So this is a dua a person should make. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how will an Islamic country come down. The main cause for it is the munafiqin and hypocrites who are living in the country, and they will normally cause great harm. And throughout the Islamic history, Allama Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi says that throughout history, if a person studies, especially the Shias, the harm they caused to the Islamic country and the Islamic land, that even when the Tatars invaded, whenever Islam went down, you will always find there were some Shias joined together with the non-Muslim people who helped and assisted, or they were part of the government, and they backstabbed the Muslims, and then eventually the whole Islamic country came down. It wasn't only external forces, but the internal enemies, the snakes in the bed, they are much more dangerous. So Allah Ta'ala warns us about the munafiqin and hypocrites, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if a person wants victory, a person will hold firm to the Quran Sharif, then a person can never be unsuccessful. The more a person will hold to the form of the Quran and he's practicing on the Quran, reading the Quran, Allah will always give them izzat and honor. But why don't we follow the Quran Sharif? Because a person doesn't have ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the ending of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions verses regarding the ma'rifat, recognition who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And if a person understands who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, automatically his relationship with the Quran will increase, the love for Quran will increase, love for deen will increase, and then Allah's help and assistance will be with him. These last few verses of Surah Al-Hashr, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who reads, أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. Three times. And then هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو. Three verses. Every morning. And then 70,000 angels will make dua for him until the evening. And if he reads it in the evening, then from the evening till the morning, 70,000 angels will make dua for him. Mullah Umar Saparan Puri Rahmatullah used to say, he said, I don't start my breakfast every morning without first putting my angels to make dua for me. I've got my 70,000 angels making dua for me now, then only I have my breakfast in the morning. So Allah give us tawfiq, we'll try to learn this dua and we try to read it every morning and evening. The next surah is Surah Mumtahina, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the enmity or cutting of our relationships with the kuffar and disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that firstly they are my enemies, secondly they are your enemies, thirdly they have caused great harm to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just because you believed in Allah and believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can you have a friendship with them? لَن تَنْفَعَكُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Your family members and your children will not give you any benefit on the day of Qiyamah if they never have iman. And they didn't have. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what an example he was. He cut off from his own father also, because his father was not prepared to accept iman. So when a person doesn't have iman within himself, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is a beautiful example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, but he made dua for them, that Allah must give them hidayat and guidance as long as they were living. Once they passed away without iman, you can't even make dua for them. But he continued making dua while they were living. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that sometimes you have to break off with the non-Muslim people, or those people who are breaking the commands of Allah ta'ala, they do not want to come right. But if a person does it with the pleasure of Allah, and he makes an effort, أَسَلَّهُ وَيَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ عَادَيْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَوَدَّةِ. Soon Allah will create between you and those people who you have got enmity with, Allah will create love amongst you people. Now Allah Qadir, Allah is most powerful, and Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. Sahaba radiallahu anhu broke off the ties. Many of them thereafter, when the conquest of Makkah took place, many of those people entered the fold of Islam, and they all became Muslims and they became united again. So sometimes a person has to make the qurbani, sacrifice in the beginning, to go against his heart. Sometimes, for example, you want to establish family parda in the home, or you want to do maybe this inheritance, some issues, and it's not sorted out. And in a nice way, a person puts it forward. Now it creates that enmity, people are upset with him. Person wants to hold firm onto deen. So then people become upset. The person must remain steadfast at that time with akhlaq and character, with du'as, and making du'a for those people, not to have bad akhlaq also. Give them hadiyah, give them presents, and bring them closer towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will change the heart of those people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we are not prohibiting you for non-Muslim people also to show akhlaq and character to them, to be fair and just to them, to do no problem. Yes, those people who are fighting you regarding the matter of deen, they are taking you out of your houses, then Allah ta'ala is prohibiting you there. And you must be careful that you mustn't become their beloved, their friends, and you keep a close contact with them because they are trying to cause harm to you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many laws regarding love, connection a person must have. At the end of the surah also Allah says, never ever befriend those people who Allah's anger is upon them, the Jews, Christians, non-Muslim people. Do not become their bosom friends. Be very careful regarding them. You can show akhlaq with them. A person can do business dealings with them also to the level of necessity. He can have a feeling for them of sympathy, but to have close bosom friends, inviting them for our functions, every day I'm having meals with them, etc. This is not allowed in the deen of Islam. A person has to be very careful, and especially those people who we are living in a non-Muslim country. So many times we become affected by the environment around us. Now it's Christmas, it's New Year's, and then we're also telling the people Happy New Year's, Happy Christmas, and all of these things. Whereas the ulama say that you congratulate somebody on zina. You tell the person, hey, mashallah, you made zina. Nobody will do such a thing. We know it's such an evil action. Nobody, but they say the worst guna, this is a sin which a person has done, and you cannot congratulate him on this. Worse than this is to congratulate him on his festival. Because the festival is of kufr and shirk. So you're telling Happy Christmas, or Happy New Year, or Happy Easter. So this is a more severe sin than congratulating a person on sin which a person is committing. So a person has to be very careful regarding these matters. We should not congratulate them and encourage them in their festivals. We're buying a Christmas tree, we're cutting a turkey on a Christmas day, or we're giving out cards, like how they we're following their system, or Easter eggs, people are buying and selling in it during the time of Easter. A person should abstain from all of these things. Allah give us the reality of this. The next surah is Surah Al-Saf. Mawlana Ahmad Lahori Rahmatullah has mentioned a very amazing thing. He says that for Islam to come alive, there are three groups of people who will have to make an effort for deen. The first group is the Mujahideen, those who are sacrificing their lives and their time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Al-Saf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about them, that how they must remain steadfast in their lines also, and they must take example of the people of the past to have the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are doing the greatest business, which will save a person from the fire of Jahannam, believing in Allah and His Rasul, and making jihad, striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their lives and their wealth. It's very, very great reward for them. So this is the first jamaat of people by which Islam will become alive. Second, the jamaat which Allah mentions is of the ulama. They will make an effort in deen also. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the effort they have to make, that the effort of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teaching the people the ayat of the Quran Sharif, like we have our maktab system, the tazkiyah, like the khanka system, purifying people, and وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, teaching them the book of Allah ta'ala and hikmah, like our darul ulum. These are the three the efforts which Anbiya alayhi wa sallam made, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. So this is the duty of the ulama and their responsibility. So this whole surah Allah mentions about their responsibility. And when a person has got knowledge and he doesn't practice upon that knowledge, he's like a donkey which is carrying books, a heavy load, and there's no benefit to a person. And an alim and all people, especially the ulama, they should have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the sign of the love of Allah ta'ala is that their heart is always inclined towards akhirat. They don't mind dying also and leaving this world. They're not like the Jewish people who didn't want to die and leave this world. They had so much of fear because they had everything was left was for this worldly life. But the true alim of deen, he stands so much forward for the year after. As soon as the command of Allah comes, then he is actually ready. مَنَ حَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ يَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. When the angel comes to take his soul, he is happy to leave this world. He wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala mentions about the virtue of Jumu'ah. And here, Mawlana Ahmad Lahori rahmatullahi alayhi writes, Allah is saying, he's given us a platform for the general people to work on the general people. The best time is the time of Jumu'ah. And Allah has brought all of the people to the masjid. Allah has made an announcement. They are all coming to one masjid. So at that time is the best opportunity to give them the message of deen. And what is the message of deen which should be given? مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهُ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ. Whatever is by Allah is far, far better than all futilities and your tijara and your business. Allah is the best giver of rosy and sustenance, turning the people's attention towards the akhirat, the life of the year after. In the next surah, Surah Munafiqun, Mawlana writes that the third group which will help and assess the cause of Islam are the businessmen or those who Allah has given wealth, and they must spend their wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they do not spend their wealth, they'll become like the munafiqin and a hypocrite, and who felt that we are doing everything. If we don't spend on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you won't get anything, you'll be completely destroyed. Listen, we don't need your money. Allah has got the khazana and the treasures of the heavens and the earth, but the munafiqin do not have understanding. And they said, we are honorable, and the people, the Muslims are, the ulama or the pious people, they are all zaleel, they need our money. Allah said, they don't need, he said, lies in the hands of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for the true believers, when we are spending our money in the path of Allah ta'ala, don't feel we are doing someone a favor, we are doing ourselves a favor by spending in the path of Allah ta'ala. So when these three groups work together, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make such a system that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spread in the world. In the next surah, Surah Taghabun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here also that izzat and for deen to spread, when you will see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world, how Allah created us, creating the heavens and the earth, in what a beautiful way Allah created human beings, in the most superior forms of ways. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have the ma'rifat and recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will force a person to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the day of Qiyamah comes. Yawm al-Taghabun, the day of loss. When a person will come on the day of Qiyamah, he will see how much of money, capital he had in this world, and how much he had lost out. As Hazrat mentioned yesterday, Yawm al-Hasra, the day of sorrow and sadness is the day of Qiyamah, one name of it. Another name is Yawm al-Taghabun. A person will see how he lost out in his business. He had what opportunities, what capital he had, but unfortunately he lost out. So this is the day of Ghaban. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, hold firm unto deen. Allah will give you great, great virtue, rewards. But in this worldly life, you are going to come across tests. Whatever test a person comes, is illa bi iznillah, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who believes in Allah, has got yaqeen and conviction in Allah, Allah will guide his heart. Allah will keep him steadfast. At the time of difficulty, follow Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and full of full trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Sometimes you will get your family members, your children, who will be enemies and turn you away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be very, very, very careful. These are all examinations in the part of a person's life. But fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listen to His command, obey Him, and spend your money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. a person who is saved from stinginess of his heart, then these people are the completely successful people. If you spend your money in the path of Allah, Allah will give you far, far greater, and Allah will forgive your sins. Allah is very, very grateful. Look at what a person spends in the path of Allah, and Allah will give a person so much. The next surah, Surah Al-Talaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there can be no change to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially regarding hukukul ibad, the right of a fellow human beings. Allah has given us certain laws, and we have to follow these laws. And those who will go against these laws, they have to taste the punishment of it in this world also and in the year after. And here, especially regarding talaq, Allah mentions, ittaqu Allah rabbakum, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding your woman folk. Fear Allah so many times. And Allah mentions the great virtues of fearing Allah. A person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will make out a way for that person, an exit for that person. Allah will give him sustenance from where he never thought possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his matters easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins. And Allah will give him great, great rewards. Five great virtues Allah has mentioned of taqwa, especially when it comes to these matters. Because normally when a person now is alone in the house with his wife, and he can beat her up, he can do so much of wrong and oppression to her. Only a man who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be able to fulfill the rights of his wife, and he has to control his anger, to control his lust, and not to look at other women, to have affairs with other people, etc. This taqwa is the most important quality which has to be ingrained in a person. Allah give us this quality also. So Allah mentions here the laws of the woman also. She also has to have taqwa. If she got, she's sitting for iddat, how long she must sit, breastfeeding of the child, all of these laws Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. And the last surah which was recited last night was Surah Al-Tahrim, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that nothing must be a barrier between you and obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that sometimes it's your own wife also, that she should not become a barrier in for you breaking the commands of Allah or changing the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions that regarding the Azwajah Mutahharat in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was some incident happened that Allah ta'ala warns Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what Allah has made halal, do not make it haram upon yourself. We have to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly as it had come. And if your even if your wives have to go against you, if they go, in is normally used in Arabic, if it ever has to happen, that doesn't mean it will happen. If it has to happen, Allah shows that He's not in need of your wives also. The wives, Azwaj Mutahara, such high rank they had got, Allah is not in need of them. So Allah Ta'ala is showing us, that Allah Ta'ala wanted to, He can change them, give you somebody else better. But more important is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, for all people of Iman, save yourselves and your families from the fire of Jahannam. Be careful, and the fire of Jahannam is such that the fuel of it is human beings and is stones. And upon it are angels who are very, very harsh and very severe. They will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever they are commanded, they will definitely do it. So be careful of the day of Qiyamah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbatan nasuha, a sincere tawbah. A tawbah where a person wants to change his life. If a person will do this, Allah will forgive his sins. Allah will enter him into Jannah. And on that day on Qiyamah, Allah will not disgrace Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those people who have got Iman. Because of the tawbah, because of changing their lives, there will be a light in front of them, and they will be walking, it will be on the right side, in front of them. They will be walking over the bridge over Jahannam, entering into Jannah, and they will be making dua to Allah Ta'ala, that oh Allah, complete our nur for us, forgive our sins. It will become easy for a person on the day of Qiyamah. So Allah Ta'ala protect and save us. And finally, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions that if a person, he's got a great Nabi also, but his wife has got kufr and disbelief, it won't be of any benefit of her husband, even though he was a Nabi of Allah. And a woman who is steadfast on deen, like example, Fir'aun's wife, she was steadfast on deen. Her husband was the greatest oppressor and tyrant, but how she remained steadfast on deen. So nobody has got an excuse that my wife is like this or my husband is like this here. Because look at the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, their wives were non-Muslims. In that time it was permissible to get married, but they remained firm on deen. And her husband was the greatest oppressor, Fir'aun, but she remained steadfast on deen. So no one has got an excuse. I cannot be a practice on deen. Look at these people as an example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true understanding.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. An Layth bin radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam. Ummatu Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Asqalu al-nasi fi al-mizan. Zallat al-sinatuhum bi kalimatin thaqulat ala man kana qablahum. La ilaha illallah. Rawahu al-Asfahani fi al-Targhib. حضرت لیث رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ سے مروی ہے کہ حضرت عیسیٰ علیہ السلام فرماتے ہیں کہ محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امت کے اعمال حشر کی ترازو میں اس لیے سب سے زیادہ بھاری ہیں کہ ان کی زبانیں ایک ایسے کلمے کے ساتھ مانوس ہے جو ان سے پہلے امتوں پر بھاری تھا، وہ کلمہ لا الہ الا اللہ ہے. حضرت عیسیٰ علیہ السلام حجت the deeds of the Ummah of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be reckoned weightiest on the Day of Judgment, because their tongues should be accustomed to the recitation of a kalima which was found too hard by the nations of the previous Anbiya alayhi wasallam. The kalima is La ilaha illallah. Once again, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had said, the deeds of the Ummah of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be reckoned weightiest on the Day of Judgment, because their tongues shall be accustomed to the recitation of a kalima which was found too hard by the nations of previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. The kalima is La ilaha illallah.